Let's go get it.
The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning to you. It is Chuck and Winkler. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola in for Bart. It's a pick and save football Thursday here on The Fan. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, live from Seattle, is our green and gold insider, Michael Cohen. Michael, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing all right. How's the weather out in Seattle, first of all, for game time, game weather conditions out there?
I don't really know. I literally just woke up since it's 7 a.m. out here, so I have not looked outside. I believe it's about 50 degrees based on what I saw on my phone.
Okay, man. Yeah, we woke you up. That's right, 2 hours difference. We woke you up early. Okay, the Packers, this is a game I was telling Joe earlier. The Packers win this game. Not only does that put them, I think, back in the conversation for the playoffs, not that a loss would ruin things, but I think this is would be a big momentum boost. I mean, you win last week, and then you get this win in Seattle, your first win. This victory tonight would go a long ways for these guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was reading a column by Bob McGinn yesterday, and he said that the six times that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers have played each other, it's been three wins at home for Aaron Rodgers and three wins at home for Russell Wilson. So neither guy has won in the opposing team's stadium. And I think that given the history of what the Packers have gone through here in Seattle, and, you know, I don't have to recap that for everybody to know exactly what I'm talking about. If they were to win tonight and sort of exercise those demons a little bit, I think it would be huge and a tremendous boost for the locker room. Because even though this season has nothing to do with past seasons and tough losses here, I do think that anytime you can accomplish something that you haven't done before or haven't done recently, it's a major shot in the arm for the team. So if they come into a place that has haunted them in the past and get a win on a short week, you know, with all the injuries that they're facing, and they have a tremendous, potentially tremendous uphill battle tonight with injuries. But if they were to pull it off, I completely agree that not only does it shove them right back into the playoff discussion, but it's also the type of victory that could catalyze a team and really change the dynamic of the next 4 or 5 weeks for this Packers bunch.
Talking with Michael Cohen, our green and gold insider here from The Athletic, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Of course, Aaron Rodgers had said the other day that he wants to be able to silence that 12-man crowd right out of the gate, and that would start by establishing the run with Aaron Jones. We know the Seahawks don't have a great run defense by any means, so you'd like to see a nice heavy dose of Aaron Jones. The question is, though, Michael, can we see more than 15 carries from him? Could it be pushed up to 20? Is there any hope for that?
That's a really tricky question for a lot of different reasons. I know that the conventional wisdom from people, you know, on the outside and watching this team is that why can't we give Jones, you know, 25 carries? Why can't we give him 30 carries sometimes? And so I went back and I looked last season, and even when he was rolling at his best, I think the most touches he had in a game combined rushing attempts and, you know, passes caught was around 24 to 25 touches. And remember, he had two pretty significant injuries last year. He tore the MCL in both knees. And after the season, his running backs coach, Ben Sermon, said that Jones really has to get stronger in his lower body. And I know he's listed at 208 pounds, but there was a nugget in one of Pete Doherty's stories earlier this week that said Jones told him he's really about 198 pounds. So if you talk about being 198 pounds, comparing that to other running backs like, you know, the Gurleys of the world, the Adrian Petersons of the world that are 215 plus. I mean, that's a sizable difference in terms of, you know, the amount of contact you're absorbing at the running back position. So, you know, theoretically, I think, you know, fans would love to see Aaron Jones get 25 carries a game. I just think that the Packers are probably a little bit concerned about his health, given the fact that he got banged up twice last year. He's really, really light for the running back position. And he's just not that powerful in the lower body, as Ben Sermon said last season. It was something that Jones really had to work on in the offseason, was strengthening his lower body. So I do think the reason we've seen fewer touches for Jones than people would like is because of the injury concern, not necessarily because they don't think he could succeed with that many touches. It's, do you want to risk that many touches?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big deal. I mean, he hits the hole very, very fast. It's just, can the guy be durable like those other running backs who are, you know, sometimes 20 pounds heavier? I mean, And I think that McCarthy, I think when people look at McCarthy and they question whether or not why he doesn't want to use the running attack, and I think he wants to pass the ball, but he's trying to keep his guy safe. He's trying to keep get as much out of he can because he's 198 pounds, like you said.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. So I think there's two arguments. One, I think it's they're trying to keep him safe, and two, it's that McCarthy definitely favors the pass. So I don't want to say an excuse because that's not what I think it is, but it's a convenient way for McCarthy to shield the fact that he definitely leans more pass heavy than run heavy. And, you know, I went back and I looked at those two seasons when Eddie Lacy was playing tremendous football for the Packers when he was rookie of the year and I believe the year after. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but this was over the summer. I went back and I looked to see how many times he was averaging, you know, 25 or more touches in a game. And it was almost never. So when he was rushing for over 1,000 yards in a season, he was only averaging like 18 or 19 touches a game combined rushing and receiving. So it's not as if the Packers have really ever been a team that gives it to the running back 25 to 30 times a game. And I think that that's something that people need to consider too, is that even when they had their best running game under McCarthy over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, they still weren't giving the ball to their tailback 25 to 30 times a game. It just doesn't happen in an offense with Aaron Rodgers. So certainly I can understand the desire from fans and from people outside wanting McCarthy to do that. But the bottom line is I just don't think it's ever been practical in McCarthy's offense. And so if Jones gets between 17 and 22 touches a game, that's pretty much peak usage from what we've seen in a Mike McCarthy offense.
Again, talking with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider here on The Fan. Let's go over to the defensive side of things for the Packers. The safety position is just, it's a mess right now with the injuries, with the guys that Brian Gutekunst has cut loose. What do you think the safety position is going to look like tonight? Do you think there's going to be a lot of rotating of guys? How do you think that's going to play out?
It's a great question, and I think it's honestly going to depend a lot on Blake Martinez, too. Blake Martinez was listed as questionable on the injury report, and it's a very difficult turnaround with a high ankle sprain to go from playing on Sunday to playing again on Thursday and having to fly and deal with what the altitude changes can do to potential swelling in any part of the body. And that's definitely a factor to consider. If Martinez is out tonight, that could change things significantly because then you're talking about, you know, playing Antonio Morrison. I know you asked me about the safety position, but the reason the inside linebacker spot matters is because then you have to decide who you want to play next to him. They've been playing so much hybrid safety the last month, whether it was Jermaine Whitehead or Josh Jones or even Kentrell Bryce at times, that they have to decide if they can play a hybrid safety next to Antonio Morrison or if they need another traditional linebacker and then they have to use Oren Burks. So if they decide to go with two linebackers, then I think you can play Josh Jones at safety. If they decide to go with a hybrid safety and Antonio Morrison or a hybrid safety and Blake Martinez, then I think you see Josh Jones in that role, and then I do think you see Raven Green back there more at safety. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts on this defense, and that doesn't even mention the fact that Nick Perry is out, Kentrell Bryce is out,
right,
and Kevin King is out as well. So this is going to just be a very hodgepodge group on defense for Mike Patton tonight.
At the receiving core with Randall Cobb out for tonight's game, how serious is that injury? Is he coming back anytime soon, do you think?
It's a really weird one because, you know, it's a hamstring injury that he's had for a long time, but he was able to play 1 week and then now he's out again. And so I don't know if it's a situation where they played him when maybe they shouldn't have. But it's definitely a cause for concern for the Packers, and I haven't spoken to Randall this week. I didn't get a chance to see him in the locker room, so I'm not really sure what the situation or what the status is, but it's definitely puzzling that, you know, this injury seems to be lingering enough, but healing just enough where he can play 1 week, and then all of a sudden he's out again for two more weeks. So it's definitely something to monitor for the Packers, considering Jerron Wallison probably wouldn't be back unless the Packers made the playoffs.
Again, talking with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold insider. I know Aaron Rodgers, you really want to see a big game out of him too tonight, because a lot of Packer fans have had doubts and kind of seen bad throws from him, and it's been hard for him to gain, you know, that chemistry that he wants in all of his wide receivers. He's going up against a Seahawks secondary tonight that is nowhere close to the Legion of Boom. So does this present really a great opportunity for Rodgers to have a good game against a young secondary in the Seahawks, Michael?
Yeah, I would think certainly if you're comparing this secondary to the ones that he faced in the past, when you had Richard Sherman, you had Earl Thomas, and you had Cam Chancellor, I don't think there's any question that this secondary is a notch below that. The defense for the Seahawks, and actually just the Seahawks in general, they started out really poorly with the first 2-3 weeks of the season, and they've really turned things around to the point where they're playing some of their best football too. You know, the Packers went out to Los Angeles and lost a narrow game, but came back feeling like they were a better team because they had played toe-to-toe with, you know, one of the best opponents in the league. And that's really what happened to the Seahawks. They just went to Los Angeles on Sunday. They lost a game that came down to the final minutes when they had a chance to win it with about 30 seconds left, had they been able to get into the end zone. So I think they're playing some of their best football right now too. But, you know, you look at what they have at corner and Griffin, and, you know, you look at what they have at safety and McDougald and these guys, and it's just not the same as the Legion of Boom. So, yes, I would think if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at the secondary and thinking there should be more opportunities than the Seattle teams I faced in years past.
All right, before we let you go, give us a prediction there, Mike.
You know, one of the things I've started doing this season is really looking at point spreads, and I've never really been a gambling guy, so it never really mattered to me, but one of the things I've been interested in is where does the late money go? Because there are people who are professional gamblers. That's what they do for a living. They bet huge sums of money, and they really do it right at the end. And so the way you see the lines change in the last 24 hours can tell you something. And this opened at 2 or 2.5 point favorite for Seattle. And just before you guys called me, I checked it out again this morning, and it's up to 3. So that tells me the late money is coming in on Seattle, and I wonder if it has to do with the severe injury problems for the Packers. Had everybody been healthy, I think I would have picked the Packers with the way that they're playing right now, but I just don't think they're going to have enough on defense to overcome it. So I'm going to take the Seahawks, but I do think it's going to be a very close game. I will take the Seahawks 24-21.
Yeah, I think the line moves. I do the same thing. I look at the line moves, and I see when I – either smart money at the end, or like if the smart guys out there in Vegas, if they see a line where they can get it at a low rate, they'll jump on it right away and maybe move the line quickly. You can see a line jump from 2 to 4 or 5, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something I really paid attention to much in the past, just because I was never really interested in gambling or anything like that growing up. But I've noticed it a lot this season where Packers games in particular have been ripe for late money, and it seems like this could be one again with the line jumping a point and a half last night.
It's going to be interesting tonight. You can follow him on Twitter,
Michael_Cohen13.
Cohen13, got it. Sorry about that. I lost it there for a second. And
no,
you can
problem.
Read you can read all of his fine work at The Athletic. Michael Cohen, we'll talk to you sometime tomorrow. Thank you so much as always.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, fellas, enjoy the game. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Michael.
And Michael joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. And Michael, of course, also brought to you by the Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or 414-327-5800.
Remember a few years ago when Ted Thompson passed up on TJ Lang and didn't want to give him a long-term contract, and he signed a 3-year, $27 million deal with the Detroit Lions, and people were up in arms. He's been put on injured reserve. It's been nothing but a disappointment for TJ. They are furious in Detroit because they've spent some money and they're not getting what they thought was back with TJ Lang.
Well, Josh Sitton, the same thing. Ever since you cut Josh Sitton loose, he's never been the same.
No, Sitton, Lang has been hurt 2 seasons now. He's been hurt in Detroit. His halfway point of the season, season over, and they owe him all that money. They were not even going to bring him back this year because they owed him $9 million. They decided to, and obviously it's a waste of money. But Ted made a smart move there. He cut the guy before paying him all that money.
Well, Ted Thompson has also done other things that, in hindsight, would be nice. Like, you know, Micah Hyde, like Casey Hayward,
absolutely.
Like TJ Watt.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, without a doubt.
Ted.
Yes, without a doubt.
Mr. Sizzle.
But, you know, I'm just saying that's a move that actually he made in recent years. A non-move that he actually made that actually worked out.
Well, he also drafted Aaron Jones, did he not? And Aaron Jones is looking very good right now. I don't know.
Draft 3 running backs, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to hit on one of those guys. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. We'll continue on. We'll also have a Green and Gold report from our insider, Mike Clemens. That's coming up here in just a little bit. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries here in the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios.
Sexual performance issues are more common than you think. This doesn't affect the old guys. It's the young guys as well, 30s, 40s, whatever. But now there's a way to cure those issues. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40. And right now, 4hymns.com is doing something about it. 4hymns.com, it's a one-stop shop, not only for sexual wellness for men, but it's going to help with hair loss and skin care as well. You know, the old days of going out to the gas station or a convenience store or whatever and getting the counter supplements, those never work anywhere. This is prescription solutions backed by science. It's very easy. You know, you don't even have to go to the doctor. You make a phone call. You answer a few quick questions with your chat with the doctor for a confidential review. And then the products, zip right to your door. Right there to your door or right there to your office. And you are good to go. Yeah, severe ED, not just an issue for like the rich guys in the bathtubs anymore. It affects men of all ages. And being your best means performing your best. With 4hymns.com, you could try it for a month for just $5. We'll get you started for $5 while supplies last. Look at the website for all the details, which would cost you normally hundreds of bucks if you went to a doctor or a pharmacist. But go to 4hymns.com/wink5. That's 4hymns.com/wink5. FORHIMS.com/wink5, 4hymns.com/winks5, and we'll get you started today for as little as $5 a month. Check it out, 4hymns.com.
Rodgers with a first and goal to the end zone, touchdown. Devontae Adams, a 7-yard laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers. The Green and Gold have high hopes for Thursday night in Seattle. We've got you covered. It's a Pick and Save Football Thursday on The Fan. Brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
Chuck and Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Bart. Mr. Winkler out in Seattle going to the game tonight as a fan. Chris getting you ready for Packers and Seahawks tonight. Cody Grant producing as always. Do want to get back into the Bucks? The Bucks falling last night, 116-113 to the Memphis Grizzlies. A game that really the Bucks should have won. They were down at times in that game. At one point, they were down 15 points. They were able to put together a 27-4 run in the third quarter from guys like Thon Maker, who was bringing the energy, Pat Connaughton, who has been pretty amazing off the bench so far this season. The Bucks had a lead in the fourth quarter. But then Mike Conley kind of shut them up, and the Grizzlies kind of ran away with it. It just sucks, Chuck. That was a game I really wanted the Bucks to win.
Yeah, but, I mean, Conley made some terrific plays in that game. Sheldon Mack hits a big threes in that game. And then Marcus Saul, I think he's a terrific player and steps out and, you know, fits in today's game as well, because not only is he good around the basket, but Mark Gasol could step out and hit the three, hit a top of the key launcher and drained it. But a couple things last time. Well, the Bucks weren't hitting their threes. And when you're not hitting 45% of your threes sometimes with these guys, you're not going to win. You're not going to score 136 points.
They were 25% from 3-point line.
That's
last
not
night.
Yeah, not good.
New.
No, not good at the 3-point line. I'm 9 of 35, I think it was. So that's the way they like to win. Plus, Memphis slows the game down. The Bucks like to play up tempo, and Memphis is one of the slowest teams in the NBA. When I say slow, as far as tempo, and that's. They were able to get into the Bucks defensively last night. That's how they got back into the game. That one could have slipped away from Memphis. It was an 8-point game, but Memphis got back into that game with their defense and with their tempo and all that. They were hitting shots right at the end of the shot clock all night long, I feel. So, Conley and Gasol carried the way. But, you know, the Bucks came up empty as far as emotion last night, but Memphis has had some big wins. That's a pretty good team they lost to last night.
Yeah, I mean, they're an over 500 team. There are a lot of guys on that team, faces that you're really not that familiar with outside of Conley and Gasol, of course. But again, the Bucks were in control in the fourth quarter, even though at times they were down, and even at times when they were missing threes, they still had every chance to win that game. And it just sucks that they weren't able to, you know, extend the winning streak, the undefeated streak at the Fiserv Forum. I mean, you're going to lose at some point at home. It's going to happen. But that was a game the Bucks should have been able to lock down. And hopefully they can bounce back against the Bulls tomorrow night. Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, Chuck, Jabari Parker coming back to town, it really hasn't worked out so far down there for him. And that's a Bulls team that the Bucks should take care of. There's really, tomorrow night, there's no excuses. The Bucks need to bounce back and beat the Bulls.
Yep, you would think. You would think they would take care. Like, I saw the Bulls a couple weeks ago against Golden State, and Golden State makes a lot of people look bad. But Golden State, when Klay Thompson set the three-point record, and they came out there and they drilled them like by 50 points, it was ugly. So the Bulls have the capability of just being just awful. And I think expect the Bucks to bounce back tomorrow night and win the game. Yeah. Yeah, they're better than Chicago. Go out and win the game, and go out there and execute. And there's they need to hit their threes. Let's face it, that's the way they got to win games. They got to hit their shots. You don't hit their shots, you're not going to win.
Some of the guys who also stepped up last night in the game for the Bucks, Eric Bledsoe looked very good. Just continues to flash the athleticism, the speed when he's able to drive off the dribble. Bledsoe was 6 of 11 from last night. However, he was 2 of 4 from the free throw line and missed two consecutive crucial free throws. And really, those kind of came back to haunt the Bucks at the end. Same thing with Pat Connaughton. He played out of his mind last night until he missed two free throws at the line late in that game. And overall, Bucks from the line, they were 22 of 27. If you take away those four misses, they were almost perfect. And one of the guys, Chuck, that has been struggling from the line and struggled a little bit on the road trip from the line was Giannis. He went 11 of 12 from the free throw line.
Yeah, he missed one last night. Yeah, hit his shots. And Connaughton gave them some energy off the bench when they were struggling for emotion on the court. He gave them some. So did Thon Maker. Thon played with some. Thon, you know, on the defensive end especially.
There was a little playoff Thon in him last night.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Little playoff.
He brings the intensity in the playoffs, and he's non-existent during the regular season.
Yeah, so he played well last night, and Connaughton played well, and helped them get back into that game. And that 15-point lead dissolved quickly of the Grizzlies. But, Gasol and Conley were the two stars for them down the stretch, and that's the way Memphis goes. They live and die with those two guys. And Gasol finished with 29. Conley had 26. Conley one time was double teamed. They were running a double team at him near midcourt, dribbled around, looked like he was going to lose the ball, stumbled his way into the lane to put up an off balance floater and hit it. And that was a backbreaker right there.
We're always talking about nicknames for some of these guys. We've learned that Brook Lopez, his nickname now is Splash after Splash Mountain. I put it out on Twitter last night. You can follow me at Radio Joe Sports. I said, need a nickname for Pat Connaughton because, again, he just continues to be so pivotal off the bench. We've seen Dante DiVincenzo as well, known as White Dante. So I threw out there a nickname suggestions, and his Twitter handle is Planet Pat. So some people were good with that, but others, Brian says Patty White. Ridgeway Nut says White Noise or Con Air. Sean says Patty C. Zach says Gym Rat. There was another one on here,
too.
I
think the nicknames just naturally come with Brandon Jennings. Remember Brandon Jennings. You all remember Brandon Jennings. We tried like hell. People tried like hell to get him a nickname. And it's just like it never came. You know, easy. What do they call him? Not Easy Money.
Young Money, I think.
Young Money. Yeah. I mean, Young Money. That was forcing a nickname onto him. So I think it'll come. I mean, like Chris Middleton, the PA guy, when Middleton delivers a pass, they'll call him Cash.
Cash.
Who calls him Cash Middleton?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I never
do. We've got Cash on our team, and we got Splash on our team.
Splash Mountain. A take on the Splash Brothers, I guess, right?
Yes. And he is a big Disney World nut.
He is.
He has a house down in Orlando on the Disney property.
He is. And he's as big as a mountain. So maybe Splash Mountain might fit in. We'll see how it goes.
He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola. We will have a Green and Gold report coming up here from Mike Clemens. And also, Chuck, I know you're not a Seinfeld guy. I know that's not your thing. Mm-hmm. But I do want to share this little piece of audio on the other side. Nathan Peterman has been maybe the worst quarterback ever. I mean, ever. And a familiar Seinfeld character did a little ode to him. So I'd like to share that on the other side. It is pretty funny for those of you Seinfeld fans out there. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Rodgers with a first and goal to the end zone. Touchdown. Devontae Adams, a 7-yard laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers.
The Green and Gold have high hopes for Thursday night in Seattle. And we've got you covered. It's a pick and save football Thursday on The Fan. Brought to you by your local pick and save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
Now, a Green and Gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks. 7:20 tonight on Thursday Night Football. Seattle fell to 4-5 after losing in L.A. to the Rams 36-31 in a game that went down to the final play. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll.
We just have to stay alive. We got to keep going and keep this thing going as we finish this year. A lot of games coming up at home. We got to make a surge here and see what we can do. And I like our chances.
The Packers' Trevor Davis told Bill Michaels he expects to play tonight after recovering from a hamstring injury. Davis says he hopes he can add a spark on special teams.
There have been moments where we shined in kickoff return, and we've had a few good returns this year, but they all were called back from penalties, which is something huge we need to clean up, especially in special teams. I'm ready to get out there and help our guys out, and I think we can be really good.
The Seahawks defense has struggled against the run. The Chargers' Melvin Gordon and Rams' Todd Gurley each rushed for over 100 yards against Seattle the past 2 weeks. Green Bay's Aaron Jones is coming off a 2-touchdown, 145-yard performance against Miami and says that helps out Aaron Rodgers.
I just think it opens up the pass game, a play action. You'll start seeing safeties just roll down in the box, and that leaves it open to go over the top.
And Rodgers says, yes, it would be nice to get a win in their first trip back to Seattle since January of 2015, when they lost the NFC Championship game in overtime, 28-22.
Well, yeah, that game will always be frustrating. You think about how it went down, some of the things that happened. Yeah, the sting's probably never going to go away from that one. That's natural.
For more team coverage, go to 1057fmthefan.com.
Thank you, Mike. Sports Radio 1057 FM, The Fan. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe in for Bart Winkler. It is Chuck and Winkler. Bill Michaels show coming up at 10 o'clock. Mike Clemens will be on with the big unit at 1:20 today. So you hear some of Mike's reports inside the locker room. Chuck, we haven't had a chance to cover it, but Thursday Night Football, it's been going on now for a while. The NFL tried really hard this year to have some marquee matchups. I think the matchups have been better. But is that still just... is that driving you to watch Thursday Night Football regardless of who's playing? Because for me, if there's a fantasy football implication, I'll pay attention. Otherwise, I just don't really care.
I feel like there's more people who complain about Thursday Night Football. Not the players. I mean, fans. I mean, we love football. We love the NFL. Everybody talks about how much they love the NFL. And then they complain about that there's more football on TV, that there's too much on TV. What's wrong with a Thursday night game? I can never understand why people complain so much about another game on TV. I love it, man. I wish there was one at 8:30 in the morning. Of course, I wouldn't be up Sunday morning at 8:30, but maybe Monday night doubleheaders. Spread these games out a little bit. More the merrier, man. I don't care. Throw all the NFL on TV. We're not going to get saturated with the NFL, man. It's good stuff, and I like the Thursday football. Yeah, I'll have it on no matter what. I mean, if the Packers aren't playing tonight and it was Cincinnati against Pittsburgh, I'd still have the game on. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not the same way. To me, it's just not must-see TV for me. There's so many things on TV now, especially mm-hmm. with streaming, with Netflix and Hulu and all of that. I mean, I've got myself occupied getting caught up on so many different shows. Unless there is really something that trips the trigger or mm-hmm. it's my Green Bay Packers, it's not drawing me, man.
Well, Joe, it used to be Monday Night Football. It used to be, before there was Sunday Night Football and before there was Thursday Night Football, the only primetime game there was Monday Night Football. And that was on ABC, and it was 8 o'clock every Monday night. And if you'd watch Monday Night Football was it. I mean, that was always the highest rated show on TV, And you sat down no matter who was playing, and Monday Night Football was always on your TV in the 70s and 80s and, you know, into the 90s. And then they started putting Sunday night games on toward the end of the 80s. And then Monday Night Football got moved to ESPN. And I think some of the draw of Monday Night Football started to fade a little bit because not only of the other nights that the games were on, but the fact that it got moved to cable. And I think that, you know, it's some of that big game presence got taken off when it went from ABC to ESPN. But you know, I'm okay with that. I still watch the game, and I still watch the Sunday night game. You know, you all day football Sunday. You know, you watch the noon and then the 3 o'clock games, and then man, I put over Football Night in America on NBC, and boom, got the rest of the night to watch football. I love it.
Now you're speaking my language with Sundays, because the perfect day is to watch NFL Red Zone. Just nonstop with the noon matchups. I always like when they have more than three late games, when there's more than three 3 o'clock games, because that way you spread it out a little bit so you get more games to follow in the afternoon. Sometimes it's kind of hard just going through three games only. The NFL does that a lot.
Although what I like, though, is about when they have three games, sometimes they'll keep a game on for like a quarter.
That is true, yeah.
Because or if there's two games. But there should at least be three. Sometimes there's only 2 3 o'clock games, but three. But if there's four, you know, then you're flashing around, you get a lot of fantastic finishes.
Oh, yeah. I that's what I prefer. Yeah. A Sunday afternoon, just straight red zone, yep. That I'm all for.
Okay. Are you up early watching the pregame shows on Sunday morning?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I still watch. I know it hasn't really been the same as it used to be, but I still watch the Fox pregame show.
All right. No, I can't. Guys. I can't stand it.
Now, now, what's your issue with them?
I just can't. I think it's they don't give me any football. I'm not a big fan of Terry Bradshaw, Howie. I like Jimmy Johnson as a coach, but not an analyst. I don't think that, I just don't like it. I like the old NFL Today, and I like the CBS. I like the NFL Network.
NFL Network does do a good job.
NFL Network,
yeah. They should. They're the NFL Network.
I do. I like the NFL Network, and. Yeah, I'll put on the NFL Network on a Sunday. How about college? How about your Sunday? And I know you cover the Badgers, but I mean, what about your college football Saturday?
Well, the last couple of weeks with the Badgers being on the road and being at home, I think College Game Day is the best. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think those guys do an outstanding job. I mean, it's what, like a 3 hour pregame show, and it's fun, it's entertaining, they bring good stories. The picks are always classic, and of course when Lee Corso does his thing at the end. College Game Day is very well done by ESPN.
I'm for college football this year. I am so far behind because, I mean, I can't believe this is the second last week of the regular season coming up this weekend, and then next weekend, Thanksgiving, is the final weekend of college football. It's amazing. The seasons went just like that. But the reason it did for me, it went so quickly, is because baseball. You know, we're entrenched in baseball in the month of October as we were here. On the Fan with the Brewers, the Badgers and college football kind of got lost in the weeds a little bit. And I don't think there's been a lot of great matchups in college football this year. You know, I think this time of the year you could count on every Saturday to be a terrific SEC matchup, and there hasn't been any. And the Badgers struggling as they are, you kind of lose a little focus with college football. It's still great. It's just I haven't been as glued in as normally am.
Well, I think the Brewers were the best thing in this regard. You didn't really have to talk about a bad Badger football team. Because really, it's been very disappointing. Very.
Hey, if the Brewers are going to take away college football's attention, I'll take that every September
every
and
time.
October.
No
yes.
question. Every time. And hopefully that does continue on for a while under this new regime. I love what the Brewers are doing right now. Chuck, again, I know you're not a Seinfeld guy. Mm-hmm. I know that's not your thing. Bart is. He's a big Seinfeld guy. I don't know about Cody. I'll have to ask him on the other side. But I came across this yesterday. Some of you probably found it on Twitter from Sports Illustrated. Chuck, do you know who Jay Peterman is?
No. No.
Okay. He's a classic character on Seinfeld. He's kind of like this Ralph Lauren type figure where he's all into fashion and stuff. We actually had, his name is John O'Hurley, the actor. We've had him in studio on the Bill Michaels show, you know, white hair and stuff. Really, really nice guy. Well, we always make jokes about Nathan Peterman and how bad of a quarterback he is. Mm-hmm. Well, O'Hurley does this 1 minute ode to Nathan Peterman, but he does it as Jay Peterman. And for those of you that like Seinfeld, take a listen to this. This is pretty funny.
A treasure and a disaster all rolled into one. Nathan Peterman taught us that there is joy in failure. Now, one might have thought that an NFL record 5 interceptions in a starting debut all in the first half was a folly that could not be outdone. But they did not know our dear Nathan, however. Young Peterman continued to excel in his ineptitude, brandishing an all-time low passer rating and remarkably reaching double-digit interceptions in under 100 attempts, with a sum of picks 4 times greater than his touchdown count, and all the while managing to throw just as many TDs to the other team as he did his own. Oh, such a giving soul, that Nathan. A true enigma, a beacon of light in his plight, a delight. The flaming table for which Bills fans yearned. Oh, there is only one Nathan Peterman. Good night, sweet prince.
There you go, John O'Hurley as Jay Peterman.
How did that guy ever get a Nathan Peterman ever get a starting quarterback job? He got cut by the Bills 1 day after his head coach told them, "Well, I have all the confidence in the world in Peterman," and then he cut him the next day.
I also don't understand how he was their starting quarterback week 1.
I don't know how the guy ever got in the league.
I don't know either, and that's why there's always the question about Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And Kaepernick should be playing for the Bills right now.
Like, he should.
Why?
Colin should have a job.
I can't believe Nathan Peterman went on for this long. He was that bad.
Yeah, no. Kaepernick should be in the NFL. He's a good quarterback. He should have a job. He's not. He's far from finished. And this will be 2 seasons in a row now that he won't have a job. It's amazing. It's amazing how, because of what he did, nobody wants to take a chance. Because he knelt, nobody wants to take a chance at him. I think as a quarterback, the guy should be on somebody's team.
Should be on the Buffalo Bills, yep. That's for sure. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. We'll wrap things up on Chuck and Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Rodgers with a first and goal to the end zone. Touchdown. Devontae Adams, a 7-yard laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers.
The green and gold have high hopes for Thursday night in Seattle. We've got you covered. It's a Pick and Save Football Thursday on The Fan. Brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
A couple more minutes of Chuck and Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Radio Joe in for Bart. I did put it up on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/105.7FM, The Fan, if you want to see the ode to Nathan Peterman by Jay Peterman. Just go there. I also learned that Cody Grant is a Seinfeld fan. He joins us in studio. Hello, Cody.
Big time, man.
Hey, Rhodes.
How you doing, Frames?
Well, Rhodes, Rhodes and I and Bart, and we go through our picks every Friday, and Bart Rhodes has just been on fire. He is
so
just,
I've heard.
He has been a torch, man, and he's been torching me. So Rhodes is not going to be here tomorrow. He's going to have a rare 3-day weekend. First one in a couple of years there, Rhodes?
Yeah, at least a year and a half.
Okay.
Well deserved
for
hard-working man.
Hard-working man. Gonna be a blue-collar man. Gonna be a hard-working man.
Horace Mann in radio. I need the money.
He does.
But because of you, Freems, I've been able to take this extra day off and have a 3-day weekend. I'm looking to capitalize on that.
Your girlfriend's father's got to be in a happy mood. We haven't heard from him. It seems like he's only calling us when he's pissed off at you, but he's got to be in a good mood lately.
Yeah, well, I can take him out to dinner now with the money I win from you.
Yes. Yeah, so you're not going to be here tomorrow, but I want everybody to get your picks for this week.
Because absolutely,
you're
just been,
again, you're torching everybody, including me.
Well, I got my lock of the week.
Okay, what do you got? What do you got
tonight,
your
Seattle -3 against Green Bay.
Well, you know I got Green Bay.
I know you do.
Okay. I'll take Green Bay.
All right, I got that one.
Okay, we're in.
I got Chargers -7 against Denver with a Denver double down because we have to do one of those every
Chargers
single week.
Chargers favorite at home by 7?
Yes.
Oh, I like Denver
you
plus
like
the
Denver?
Points too.
Right.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I like the Chargers. And then my last one, Freems, Atlanta -3 against Dallas. Atlanta's at home.
Atlanta's only favored by 3?
Yes.
They've been terrible.
Yes, they have. And Dallas had a big road win last week against Philly.
2 weeks ago, they were actually good in Washington. I'm taking Dallas. Like, was impressive the other night. I don't think Dallas is dead. I'll take Dallas.
All right, there you go.
You got Atlanta?
I got Atlanta.
Okay. And the Denver game is 50, right?
Denver game is 50.
Okay.
So you can cut your deficit down to just 25 this weekend.
Wow. Well, I'm going to pay you a hundy before you go on vacation here because I, you know, you need some money for your vacation.
I do appreciate that.
And I'm down. And I'm an honorable man. You always pay your debts.
Absolutely.
Cody, thank you. Enjoy. And have a good 3-day weekend, man.
Oh, Hi, I Rose. Will, man. I got a lot of plans this weekend.
Who's in your place tomorrow?
Anthony Mandela.
Mandela. Good.
Mandela. All right. Sounds good. Well, I will be back on as well tomorrow. Bart's off again. Hopefully the Packers win. We shall see. Chuck, thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. 6 a.m. Chuck and Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Bill Michaels Show coming up next.